Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Yeshiva Pesach Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua, Insight to the Daf series. Today's shir is on Maseches Brachos, Daf Chav Ches. And the topic is, to teach or not to teach, that is the question. Our Gemara takes a detour from the discussion of Hilchos Tefillah to bring in the story which took place during the times of Rabbi Gamliel. It's a rather well-known story and has allusions to it in the Haggadah, as we'll see when it comes to the mentioning of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The connection to our Gemara, though, is that the whole episode evolves from a question asked by a Talmud, later identified as a younger Bishim Mar Yochai, regarding the obligation of Maariv. What basically transpired is that Rabbi Yeshua gave this Talmud a psak that was different than the one held by the Nasi at the time, Rabbi Gamliel. And what Rabbi Gamliel felt was an attack on the position of Nasi, Gamliel forced Rabbi Yeshua to stand while the rest of the Chacham and the Yeshiva were allowed to sit. The Yolam felt that this behavior was not acceptable on Rabbi Gamliel's part for the following reason. It's true Rabbi Gamliel was allowed to show his authority to maintain the dignity of the office of the Nasius. However, this had been the third such incident in the time since Rabbi Gamliel had been appointed Nasi, where in a machlokas Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel had taken Rabbi Yeshua to task and caused him public embarrassment. The people decided to remove Rabbi Gamliel from his position and replace him with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, a young prodigy who possessed the knowledge, yichus, and financial resources necessary for the position. Agav, the Gemara tells us that at that time, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was only 18 years old and was afraid that he wasn't going to be taken seriously because of his youth. So the Gemara says a miracle happened to him tonight and his hair turned white, and that's what it means when the Mishnah says, Hareini kiven shivim shana, it's as if I'm 70 years old, and of course that's the passage that has gained its immortality by becoming when it became part of the Haggadah. I want to focus on the shir, on the first thing that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did as Nasi, and to explain, I refer you to the following Gemara in the middle of the story. The Gemara tells us, Oso Hayom, on that day, Silku l'shomer ha-Pesach, they removed the guard by the door of the Rabbi Gamliel's Beis Medrash, v'nit l'lahem rishus l'talmidim l'ikanes, and there was permission given to the students to enter. Shemar Rabbi Gamliel Machris Omer Rabbi Gamliel would announce and used to say, "Kol Talmud Shein Tochel Kiboro, any Talmud whose inside does not match his outside, in other words, they don't possess the proper Yerushalayim and Midos, lo yikanes the Beis HaMedrash. He's not allowed to enter the Beis HaMedrash." Well, once that restriction was lifted, many, many more Talmudim came in. The Gemara continues and says, "Hahu Yoma Yitosu Kama Safsale." There were many benches that were added. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Pligiba, Abba Yosef ben Dostai, v'Rabbanan. There was a machlokas as to how many benches were added. Chad Amar once said, Itosu arbanmiya safsale, the Chad Amar shivamiya safsale. One says 400, one says 700. We'll hopefully get to that soon also. Havikachal shadaut yed Rabbi Gamliel, so Rabbi Gamliel felt bad. Amar, he said, Dilmachas v'sholom anati torim Yisrael. Perhaps I might have caused people to stop and held back people from learning. So the Gemara says, Ischazule b'chalmei. He was shown the following vision in a dream. Chatzvi chivere demalion kitma. These beautiful white barrels and containers that were full of unappealing looking ashes. So to say that these people who came in were not tochel kiboro. The outside was beautiful, the inside was not. And the Gemara says, though, velohi. Not the case, though. Wasn't really true. But rather, hahi li yasubi daite hudachzile. That Rabbi Gamliel was only shown the vision to appease himself. But really, it seems like in Shemayim, they paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, I wanted to break down this episode into a couple of pieces and discuss what was behind the machlokas and what can we learn from it. Many ideas are based on the shurim of a Rav Gephardt, the Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, who put together a sefer called Shirim Ba'agados HaZal on the Ein Yaakov. Let's talk about Rabbi Gamliel's policy. Rabbi Gamliel instituted the policy. There was a guard placed by the door of the Beis Medrash. Now, his job was not to keep out Roman troublemakers, but instead his job was to keep out certain Talmudim. As Rabbi Gamliel had a policy, and that was any Talmud whose inside didn't match his outer appearance. In other words, he had the look of a Ben Yeshiva, but didn't have the thought or the act or the midos was not welcome. The first question is, how did this Shomer exactly know what was the case with these people? It's kind of difficult to go ahead and tell. And Gephardt brings the following example. We know in Sefer Shmuel, once a Kodesh Baruch Hu decided that the Malchus should be taken away from Shaul, Shmuel was sent to the family of Yishai, and asked to pick Yishai's son to anoint him as a melech. And of course, Shmuel comes and sees Eliyahu, who was David HaMelech's oldest brother, and Shmuel sets his eyes on him and says, oh, this person's it. And Hashem immediately chastises him and says, Shmuel, tell Beit Amar Ehu, don't look at his appearance. Vilgova Komaso in the height of his, the great height that he stands. Kimiastil, I've made him abominable. I've made him disgusting in my eyes. Kilo Asher Yira Ha'adam. It's not the way people see. Ki Ha'adam Yira Lainayim. A person sees by his eyes. Vahashem Yira Lineva, but Hashem can see the heart. In other words, Hashem knows the insides of a person's working. How could Shmuel, you can't know the inside of a person's working. You might think Eliyahu looks great, but really inside he's not. So if Shmuel and Navi can't figure this out, how could this Shomer, and I can't imagine if Shomer was this giant Talmud Chacham, because if he was such a giant Talmud Chacham, what would he be doing? He'd be learning. So what are these Shomerim for? So Rav Gephardt based it on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, a famous pasuk that's become a big song. The question is, why does the Yerushalayim need Shomrim? The Marsha explains that the truth is, Yerushalayim is surrounded by walls and it's surrounded by mountains. It doesn't need natural Shomrim. What's the point of the Shomrim? The Shomrim is to go ahead and create a certain image. The image is, it's a special city. Lahavdil, when you go into Washington, D.C., and you see the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington Cemetery, and you have the changing of the guard and the people guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. You ask me a question, this is, we're really worried about security's guard. It made people think twice before they could come in. We also know that on the first day of the job, though, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah abolished the practice. And hundreds of Talmidim who had not been allowed to enter, entered to sit and learn. So the question is, what was the dispute between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah based on? I would have to think that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah also felt that Yira Shemayim is also important. So Rav Gephardt explains that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah came from different upbringings and culture. Rabbi Gamliel came from the family of David HaMelech. It was a family of Malchus. And that was the way he viewed things. His base medrash was a Malchus. He was almost like a Melech. And we have the rule that says, Melech Shemachal al Kavodo, in Kavodo Machal. And that's probably, perhaps, also why Rabbi Gamliel can't be Machal on the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben was holy on him. So Rabbi Gamliel felt, we have to take this. This is the continuation of Malchus based off of this Sanhedrin that we have. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Gemara says, though, was a Kohen. He was a 10th generation from Ezra. Of course, we know the first Kohen was Aaron HaKohen. And what do we say by Aaron HaKohen? Aaron HaKohen, we say, having me talmid of Shal Aaron, Ohev Shalom, or Hillel HaYomer, Hillel would say, having me talmid of Shal Aaron HaKohen, Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, and look at the key words. Ohev is a brios and makarbon the Torah. One's job is to love everyone and to bring them closer to the Torah. How so? By teaching. So therefore, include Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's appropriate to remove the shomer, take away the deterrent, and the perception that only the special ones could come to the base medrash of the Nasi to learn. But rather, anyone who is interested can come. After all, the only way to get better is through the way of study of Torah. And what better way to study the Torah than through the best? So what happens? So the Gemara says two things happens. First, there was a tremendous clarity of learning that day. As the Gemara says, the Tana, Edius Bobayam Nishmis. The special Masechta of Edius was taught that day. Edius is a very unique Masechta. It's just a list of different testimonials between different Chachamim. The topics cover the gamut of Shas. There is stuff there in Yonim and Edius that discuss Zroim, Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, Kachim, and Taharos. Don't know of any other Masechta that goes through every single type of Mishnah in there, or discusses Mishnayos that can be found in every single one of the Sfarim. And basically, Edius has no Gemara. The reason why Edius has no Gemara, the Mefarshim say, is because everything was accepted as a clear testimony. The fact that there was such a desire to learn brought about a special Shiata Dishmaya, and there was such a Kavod HaTorah, and such an influx of the amount of Torah learned that day, it brought a special Shiata Dishmaya that led to the clarity of studying Edyos. Second, we also see there was an influx of Talmidim. How many Talmidim? So the Gemara says there's a machlokas, whether they had to add 400 benches or 700 benches. I remember when I was a kid in 6th grade, we learned this Gemara for the first time. And I remember one of my friends saying, who cares how many benches they added? Seriously, this is what they're having a machlokas about? The truth is, though, one could ask the question, but in a different way. Instead of asking how many, or mentioning how many benches were added, why don't we ask how many Talmidim were added? And to that, Rav Gedalia Eisman Zichron Levracha, the former Mashgiach of Kol Torah, explains that the benches over here highlights the difference between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Till this point, those who would learn would either stand or sit on the floor if needed. In fact, we're all familiar with the story of Hillel HaNasi, who went up on the roof to learn and almost died of hypothermia. These Talmidim who entered, however, were not used to these conditions and needed to have benches put in. It demonstrates what Rabbi Gamliel wanted to avoid, people coming in and needing more comfort as opposed to learning under any circumstance. Interestingly enough, with this explanation, one though could understand the Gemara completely differently. One might have thought that one who says 700 benches was describing a better situation than the one who says, wow, only 400 were added. The truth is, one could say that the 700 was actually a little bit worse. We're saying that there were so many Talmidim who needed these conditions, they had to add 700 benches as opposed to 400 benches. That's how one Rabbi Gamliel could view the situation. Of course, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is going to say, look at this. It's true that we have a lower caliber of Talmud, but look how many Talmidim came in. No, who was right? So the Gemara says, Havakachal Shadaitet Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel was upset, and we see that he was shown that vision. And the Gemara says that the vision that he was shown was actually misleading. And the truth is, this is a little problematic. Why did the Gemara, or why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu seem to mislead Rabbi Gamliel with that dream? We don't seem to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu as one who beats around the bush, or softens the blow. If Rabbi Gamliel needs to hear that he was wrong, he should be told he was wrong. What's the whole idea behind this? So the Pesach Hanayim explains that it all depends on how you understand the machlokus between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Both agreed that one who is Eino Hogun should not be taught in the base of Medrash, as he could be detrimental to the others. The question is, what do you do about a person who you're not sure of? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah felt, just like Aaron, Oivus Abriyus from the Karv in the Torah. Rabbi Gamliel felt, you need to see a proof that he's a Hogun first. The barrels in question contained Afer. Afer is ash that comes from burnt trees. It symbolizes something that has no growth potential. Or Gebhardt, as it says in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in Perakei Halacha Aleph, Eim Olam Lim Torah El Talmud Hogun Na'am B'Masav. All the time. We only teach a Talmud who was fit, or somebody who we don't know whether he's fit or not. Avali Mahaya, status quo. Av Mahaya Holich Bederach Lotova Machzimer Noso Lemutav. Uman Higer Noso Bederach Yishara Ubokin Noso. But if we see a Talmud who's not proper, we educate him. We try to fix him. But we don't do it inside the base of Medrash, because we don't want him to influence others. Once that's the case, once he's better, just one last point. So we see over here, this was the machlokas, and Rabbi Gamliel wasn't being misled. He was being shown what he thought. But at the end of the day, the halacha does follow Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that when in doubt, don't kick him out, but rather let him in. To teach or not to teach? Answer is to teach. It's not a question. Just one little point in passing, just to end. Yemuka Yosef brings down, there are many things that you can learn from this story. And one thing is that no matter what happened at the end, Rabbi Gamliel still came to learn, even when he was deposed as Nasi. And Yemuka Yosef points out, it says, Shari Rabbi Gamliel no manas, atzmo b'lavol beis medrash, gam achar sheminu es Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah b'makomo, the gam bikesh mechila mirabbi Yeshua la'akar sherasha devar av mikubalim. You see over here that clearly Rabbi Gamliel did not have an ego. There was nothing invested in this. He believed he was ruling like a malchus, like a melech, and he was doing it totally l'shma. His job was, and his goal was, l'hagdil Torah l'hadira. Now we should just say that we should be zocha, that whatever we do should always have kavod shem shemayim in mind, and by doing that, we can merit following in the illustrious footsteps of Rabbi Gamliel. Kol tov, have a wonderful week.